Okay. Jai, Hare Krishna. A few months ago, I was requested to speak on how devotees can and do get distracted by inordinate involvement in social media and wandering around on the internet. So I spoke about that. And today I'd like to speak on other factors which can be distractions in devotional service. They're practically unlimited possible distractions. Distractions need not be such a serious thing, because a distraction means we have our main work in mind. We have a goal in mind. That's what we're basically concentrating on, but then we get sidetracked. But distraction gives the idea that we come back to it. But when a distraction becomes internalized, becomes a habit, it can begin to seriously impede our devotional advancement, and then it'd be more like a deviation, especially if we start to think that the distraction is as important or more important than my devotional life. So than my aim of life, which is to completely surrender at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm going to go through various distractions. If you like, this is Vedic psychology or Vaishya, analyzing how the mind takes us away from that which we should be concentrating on. Okay, I'm just going to go through some, and quite quickly, but I've listed quite a few of them, and it could be could take quite some time. The number one distraction is the idea that something other than devotional service to Krishna is in our real self-interest, and from that comes the endeavor to be happy independently of Krishna, and that's the root cause of our whole material existence. And that's the root cause of our not advancing in devotional service. So practically, this is a generic factor. We get distracted because we think that instead of being completely focused on what I have to do to please Krishna, there's something else which can immediately give me some kind of gratification. Then we come to consideration of prayer. Shreyas. Oh, yes, really I have to surrender to Krishna. I have to do my service to Krishna. That's Shreyas. But right now I'm interested in this, and that. Now, a distraction can be something which is just momentary, or it can be repeated momentarily, or it can be a whole attitude or a whole trajectory, or tangential trajectory in devotional service. A basic factor of human existence among most people, not all people, most people except pure devotees and psychopaths, which are just at the opposite end of the spectrum. But otherwise, a major factor is the desire to be popular, to be accepted, to not be disliked. And we can adjust our behavior according to that. We go along with the trend. We may know that something is wrong, but we don't want to get into it because we don't want... We have friends who have strong opinions about something, or and we want to be with them. We act in such a way that we won't be disliked. And that can just completely stymie our whole devotional service right from the beginning. If we are interested in, a desire awakens in our heart to serve Lord Krishna, but then our so-called friends and family members discourage us. And even though the reasons that they give might not really appeal to our intelligence, but the fact that we're under pressure from others and we don't want to be thought of badly by others, that can stop our whole devotional service. Or it may be that there are deviations in devotional service, major deviations which are going on. I would say this is a key factor in this conundrum. Why is it that at the present time in our ISKCON society, things are going on which clearly shouldn't be going on? And most devotees just seem to go along with it and don't seem to be very disturbed. I would suggest a major reason for that is that they don't want to stand out and be unpopular, and they don't want to think about things too deeply. They just want to be happy. So there you go again. The desire to be happy separately from Krishna can put us on a superficial platform of devotional service. Even though we talk the talk about pure devotional service and surrender, but at the same time, we go along with things which shouldn't be gone along with. Now, I'm just skirting these topics because we could get into it much more deeply. I'm just giving a little digdarshan, a little idea of various distractions, possible and manifest distractions. Similar to that, desire to be popular, desire not to be disliked, is being nice, being good, superficially, so as to get along with others. This is endemic in nice society, among nice people. In non-devotional society, we find there are many nice people. It must have been, in the 1980s, quite a lot of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, after spending many years within temple communities, started to work in secular occupations. And we used to hear from them at that time, oh, they're such nice people. Many of them are so very nice. They're very polite, and they're maybe even nicer than devotees. And they're good people. They were surprised after hearing so often that the karmis are all demons. But we should know that being nice and being good on the superficial platform is just that. It's superficial. If necessary, for Krishna's sake, we'll not be nice. Hanuman wasn't nice to the inhabitants of Lanka. He set their whole city on fire. What harm did they do to him? Well, they did. But Ravana and his henchmen, they treated him badly, but why burn the whole city? But he did. He wasn't nice. He wasn't good. He didn't strike an empathetic tone with Ravana and others. He didn't care about being considered nice. So in the same, even among devotees, we can be superficial in our relationships. That could be discussed more also. Sometimes it's required because sometimes we relate with superficial people in a superficial way because we just what's the point of trying to get into, what's the point of trying to cut through all their, relate to them on the platform of the soul when they're not interested, when they're seriously not interested to do so. Related to being nice and being good is moralism. The desire to be perceived as very moral on the mundane platform. This was a big issue for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was raised the son of a magistrate in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a very upright Bengali middle-class family, a new phenomenon, the middle class in Bengal, Bhadralok. And definitely Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very moral, and like other Bhadralok, he instilled in his children's sense of worldly morality. Or that was the whole society that we're living in. It's very important among the Bhadralok to be worldly moral. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a lot more than worldly morality, but that is required for any civilization. There is a sense of worldly morality. So I'm not saying worldly morality is bad. I'm not saying being nice and being good is necessarily bad. I'm just saying that if we don't understand them in a proper way in relation to devotional service, they can be distractions. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that he himself, as a young man, was very proud, and not necessarily in a bad way, of being a moral person. And apart from that, being scholarly and a respectable member of middle-class society. But he described that when he came in contact with his Gurudev, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he understood that this person didn't care at all about my morality or my prestige or my learning or any such thing. It didn't mean anything to him whatsoever. Because worldly morality in and of itself doesn't carry us up out of this world to Krishna's world. Too much emphasis on worldly morality keeps us within this world. Sometimes for Krishna's service, we may have to do things which don't jive with materialistic people's sense of morality. Of course, the whole sense of morality, it doesn't seem to be such a big issue in the modern age. People are so selfishly oriented that even the concept of morality is one major factor in morality is proper sexual behavior, but there's no such thing as proper sexual behavior. Hare Krishna. What a mess the world is in. Selfishness, health. People are very interested in the health of their bodies. And in Krishna consciousness, we should also be concerned with the health of our physical body, because we have to serve Lord Krishna with the body. Shariram adyam kalu dharma sadhanam. The body's bodily health is required so that we can practice dharma. Now, of course, if one is fully realized, then bodily health is not a factor. But for most of us, we do need to have bodily health. And for that, it becomes quite an endeavor, especially as you get older. When I was younger, I used to be surprised. I used to meditate on or see how, by the arrangement of Bhagavan, how the body can get sick or it can get injured and it can quickly recover. Now, as my body is older, I'm seeing the arrangement of Bhagavan, how in older age, even little things can make the body get out of whack. and it just doesn't seem to get better very quickly at all. So as we get older, the health seems to be more of an issue. Just maintaining minimal health so that we can go on serving Krishna. But then if we get too much into it, it's again, it's a question of balance. If we get so much concerned, and then the health becomes more important than our spiritual health, it can overshadow that. So again, it's a question of attitude and understanding, so we don't get out of balance. That's why hearing regularly from proper devotees is so important. So apart from maintaining our own health, there is the honest endeavor to maintain one's family and relatives. Srila Prabhupada seems almost sarcastically uses that phrase in translating the well-known Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Kinchana verse. The honest endeavor to maintain one's family and relatives. Yes, it's a good thing to do. It's required to do if one has a family, to maintain the family and to do so honestly rather than running a drug cartel or a protection racket. To do it by honest means, sato vritehe, that is certainly required for a person who has a family. Should do what is required to maintain them. Unfortunately, at the present time, this is a major problem for many devotees all over the world. And maybe it's a bigger problem that they don't realize that it's a problem, that they become so absorbed in family maintenance that they don't get time for their spiritual practices, or they consider that as normal, a very truncated daily sadhana program. Or they think that I have to get ahead, get my career, build up my career, I have to do it for my family. And that also it distracts us away from the real goal of life, which is simply to surrender to Krishna. So apart from maintaining our family, and just going through things very briefly here, and someone may say, well, what about this? Do you have to... They may bring objections, but again, I'm just touching on topics. I'm just touching on them. I'm not discussing in detail the pros and cons of how much we have to work and keep a balance. And all of these topics that I'm bringing up could be expanded more and more. But I'm just giving some idea of, attempting to give some idea of how there are so many ways we can be distracted in devotional service, and giving ideas of common distractions, which we may not even realize are distractions, so we can start to think about them. Then apart from maintaining our family, a broader benevolence toward the greater human society in welfare work, this has become a major distraction, if not a deviation, within our ISKCON society in general. And we hear of brahmacharis who join the Krishna consciousness movement for the sake of cultivating pure devotional service, regularly engaged 5 or 6 days a week as their main engagement, to go outside the temple and meet well-to-do people and tell them how we are feeding children, and in this way we are helping the children to have a better future, helping to build the nation, and please give a donation. So it becomes a distraction in devotional service. Oh, what else? So much more. What else have I got written here? Made a few notes. Bit of a jumble, getting a bit distracted. Being a member of ISKCON, how can that be a distraction? Well, if we overly identify with being a good member of ISKCON, that can also be a distraction from our goal of life, which is to love Krishna. We have to develop love of Krishna. It's not enough simply to say, I am a member of ISKCON. I'm a senior devotee. I've been in this movement longer than you. I'm senior to you. I'm a strong member of ISKCON, and I don't accept any of this criticism of ISKCON's deviations into bodily and social welfare work. No, we have to support it because it's ISKCON. So that is something which can, that's not a distraction in the sense of something which momentarily distracts us. But it distracts our whole course of the movement and individuals' consciousness of how we are progressing toward Krishna. So that's maybe more like a deviation. Being an ISKCON member, and then within ISKCON, it's a society, it's a hierarchical society, and so there's consideration of position and prestige. Oh, this is a very, I just mentioned there's a very senior devotee. This guru has more disciples than your guru. And so on and so on. We may be doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And or that tinge may be there of desire for position and prestige, which can harm our devotional advancement. We can be doing it for Krishna, basically, but there's a tinge of desire in our heart for position and prestige, which distracts ourselves from what we really want to do, which is to fully give ourselves to Krishna. Atna samarpan, offering ourselves fully to Krishna, knowing that we fully belong to Krishna, and we have nothing else to do but to serve Krishna for his pleasure. So when we become concerned with position and prestige, then there comes the, maybe even unknown to ourselves, it may be even unknown to ourselves that we are interested in position and prestige. We may justify it to ourselves, but then what happens? We become concerned with maintaining a profile, that I have to show myself as a good ISKCON member, I have to conduct myself as a dignified senior member, I have to make an impression on others so that they will respect me. And in this way, again, Maya got us, and we are more concerned with, or we become diverted into peripherals rather than the essential point, which is to be fully concentrated on loving and serving Krishna. Vegetarianism, Srila Prabhupada several times said that we're not a vegetarian movement per se. He very strongly emphasized following the four regulated principles, including no meat eating. He spoke very strongly against the organized animal slaughter, especially cow slaughter. But he also taught that we're not vegetarian per se. We are Krishnatarian. We take only Krishna prasad. And although in some ways it's better that people be vegetarian, because meat eaters, they cannot that sinfulness of being a meat eater blocks one's ability to understand spiritual knowledge. But to overemphasize on vegetarianism, that is not our aim and object. Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that if people become devotees of Krishna, they'll automatically become a vegetarian. It's easier to convince, in general, it's easier to convince people to be vegetarians than to be devotees of Krishna. And you may think, well, I'm improving their life. Yeah, but it's nothing like the improvement of becoming a devotee of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada warned about that also, becoming too much concerned with things that are, in one sense, favorable to devotional service. They're closer to the mode of goodness, but which at the same time are in and of themselves without Krishna consciousness. They are peripheral and we shouldn't overly emphasize them. Similarly with ecology and environmentalism, there's no way to stop all this juggernaut of destruction of the environment, which is, people have been shouting and yelling and screaming for years about this, the ecological disaster which we are now living in and which is unfolding more and more. But the factors that cause it are not going to be stopped just by resolutions of politicians and agreements. But it's all caused by a misplaced concept of life. If people become Krishna conscious, then automatically all these things will be adjusted. So we are not an ecological or environmental movement. We are, but only secondarily or tertiarily. What's the word? Third. It's not our central focus. We shouldn't become distracted by these things. Similarly, politics, mundane politics. We do live in this world and we should be aware to some extent what's going on around us if we are to relate to it, which we want to do as preachers of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we shouldn't be so much absorbed in politics and then always following the election campaigns and the issues at hand and always looking at the latest news and the opinions and this and that. It's something which can be very absorbing. But let's face it, we are a small movement. I'm talking about our direct influence in the secular world. What we think doesn't make that much difference. In fact, it makes practically zero difference. Just like we could, for instance, as a member, as members of the Krishna consciousness movement, attend the inauguration of an American president. And what the hell does he care about us that we go there? Right? We want to show, yes, we support this party, but why should we support any party? It's not such, they should support us, that's better. So getting so much involved in politics and saying keeping in a healthy, intelligent, informed perspective on what's going on. How informed do you have to be? Whether this Malecha gets voted in or that Malecha gets voted in, how much we can get badly. I want to speak of politics within ISKCON. You may think, well, that's closer to home. Yeah, but ante narayana smriti. On one hand, living within this society, we can't be blind to all that's going on. But at the same time, if we become so much concerned, then what's going to happen? At the time of death, which can come any moment. We all say that, don't we? Yes, it can come at any moment. But we don't really take it that seriously, do we? It's only theoretical. We should always be cultivating a sense of Krishna consciousness, which is not the same necessarily as the machinations going on within the ISKCON society. Oh, politics, politics, politics. Srila Prabhupada said our devotees should, at least at some point, get involved in secular politics so as to guide it properly. But at the same time, he warned against politics within our society. That means acting out of a sense of personal sense, self-interest, and trying to adjust things. Or it may be that one thinks, yes, my way is right, and then just tries to manipulate things in a duplicitous way. It's a big topic. Politics is very much linked with nationalism, which is nonsensism, because we're not the body. Some case could be made for being nationalistic if one is Indian, because India is supposed to lead the world by spiritual knowledge. So we are interested. We don't want that India will be invaded by hostile forces, although it's invaded by hostile forces in the form of so much propaganda within the country. We don't want that India be divided into so many sub-portions. But at the same time, we keep everything in perspective. Even America, you could say, we could be nationalistic in the sense that Srila Prabhupada wanted America to lead the world by Krishna consciousness. But again, we're a long, long, long way away from fulfilling that dream. And a sense of nationalism and identifying with the body and those who promote, we are members of this country, we all have to come together to defeat the others. It's another distraction in devotional service. Here in India, increasingly nationalism is identified with Hinduism. And all over the world, it's easier to, in some ways, to present ourselves as Hindus than to present the fact that we are presenting knowledge, that we are not the body, that we have nothing to do with the upadhis, sarva upadhi vinir muktam, tatparat vena niramalam, hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. When one is free from upadhis, mundane designations, and is purely involved in serving the Supreme Lord, offering the activities of the senses to he who is the master of the senses, that is called bhakti. So that's what we're supposed to be presenting. It's a difficult message to present, no doubt. And if we just want to make it easy for people, which means making it easy for ourselves, if they want to put us in a box, what is your designation? If we say Hindu, okay, fine, we understood, great. Great or not great, we like it or we don't like it, but at least we understand who you are. And if you try to tell them, we're not the body, this, that, it's purely spiritual, and they'll try to put you in some box anyway, some mental box, and it'll probably be the Hindu box. So why try to disabuse them of their very small way of understanding us as Hindus? Then to get into the Hindu cause, again, it can be a distraction. We may have to Hindu cause, but really our cause is to promote pure devotional service. Hindu cause, yeah, if we can promote cow protection and study of Sanskrit, these are all good cultural things, and cow protection, of course, is very dear to Krishna. But study of Sanskrit, again, in and of itself, without Krishna consciousness, it's a big zero. Put the one of Krishna before it and it becomes a very big 10. cow protection, yeah, but it's, again, without Krishna consciousness, then so many Mayavadis and non-Hindus, Jains, they also do cow protection. So cow protection is definitely, should be a central part of the Krishna conscious movement, but it should be a central part of the Krishna conscious movement, not that it is central to our lives and our practice and our propagation of Krishna consciousness to the extent that we become more cow protectors than Krishna devotees or aspiring devotees. In other words, we do cow protection because it's pleasing to Krishna, clearly for this purpose, because the cows are dear to Krishna. Similarly with Sanskrit, we want there'll be devotees who are fluent in Sanskrit and can present according to Shastra and this and that, but Sanskrit in and of itself, Sanskrit, when we say Sanskrit, it's the portal to the whole ancient culture, the cultural aspects, the higher aspect, the subtle aspects, everything is there in Sanskrit language, but it's a multiply variegated culture, and there are so many things within the Sanskrit language. And even to study grammar, which is well, it's not the very beginning, but it's largely the beginning, it can be a huge job. Can be a huge job in and of itself. We could spend years and years and years studying grammar alone. And it's fascinating, no doubt, but it's not our goal of life to be a Sanskrit scholar. So those who are studying Sanskrit, good, do it for Krishna. For understanding, I'm doing this as a service to Krishna, not for any other reason. Or it may be that we're doing it for Krishna, but yeah, and again, the position and the prestige and just the intellectual fascination of learning and scholarship, whether it's devotional learning. There are many things which are very, very interesting in the world. If we study history, psychology, current affairs, science, and within that, so what are the latest discoveries in science? Someone who's preaching in that line, they may keep up with. There's a lot of stuff to keep up with. But again, we can become distracted by all these things. So we have to be very, very careful about this. Specifically within devotional service, or within the culture of devotional service, the broader culture of devotional society, I mentioned Sanskrit, which can be a distraction. Similarly, Ayurveda, astrology, these can be distractions, or less traditional distractions. Reiki, that was popular a few years ago. It was wildly popular among some devotees in the West especially. Seems to have died down. Things, fads come and go. Now, Ayurveda and astrology are definitely important parts of Vedic culture. And some devotees should specialize in them. And it's good if individual devotees have at least some knowledge, some basic knowledge of Ayurveda. No harm, as pretty much everyone in Vedic culture used to have. But again, if we start to see the world through the lens given by Charak instead of Chaitanya, then we're in trouble, especially as Charak doesn't seem to be. His immediate concern was with the body. So he speaks of leading a good life, balanced life, moral life. We don't see that he emphasizes surrendering to Krishna. And yeah, astrology also, we become very concerned with our immediate position within material existence, which again can be very helpful if we realize, if we keep it prominent in our mind, that our aim is not to remain within material existence or to adjust our position. Astrology is supposed to help us adjust our position in material existence, but what is the point unless that adjustment is to help us go further ahead in Krishna consciousness? So these are just some ideas of various distractions, and there are more and more and more. We can go on thinking up new ones, or we're just thinking, they're already there, but we can think of others. Miracles is a big distraction for religious people in general. They like to see miracles. So if we become overly concerned with miracles, rather than trying to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness or expecting a miracle, I'll just do a little bhakti here and there and I'll get some special mercy. And Prabhupada, he was a miracle. Prabhupada's miracle was that he changed people's consciousness to Krishna consciousness, not that he just initiated people and left them basically to their own devices with some blank, what is that, post-dated check of some special mercy. He didn't do that. He gave what is required to surrender to Krishna. Similarly, in devotional service, to be so much concerned with nectar. You always want the nectar. I want to hear some nice stories and all these wonderful stories. But there's a lot of hard work and surrender if we are to actually advance in devotional service. What else do I have written here? It's not in proper order. It's all over the place. Oh, how about Varnashram? I'm very much promoting Varnashram because Prabhupada wanted it. And Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that. But then again, to become so much concerned with Varnashram Dharma, forgetting that it's supposed to facilitate Krishna consciousness, that again can become a distraction, serious distraction. And again, it's not that we should throw out Ayurveda, throw out learning, throw out Sanskrit, throw out Varnashram. Yeah, all these things should be there. But everything should be seen in proper perspective, not that we get imbalanced and start to emphasize things inordinately. Following vows, such as Kartik vows, Chaturmasya, very good for advancement in Krishna consciousness, if done properly. Srila Prabhupada himself didn't emphasize it so very much. It is there in Shastra. Srila Prabhupada very much emphasized the preaching of Krishna consciousness. For better or for worse, the heavy push for preaching that was there when Srila Prabhupada was personally present has died down a lot. So maybe it is good then that we emphasize more Chaturmasya and Kartik vows. But again, if we think that these are a substitute for seriously applying ourselves to Krishna consciousness throughout the year, or if we think that we somehow became better than others because we follow these and others don't, or we follow them more rigidly, then again, it's a misunderstanding, we become so eager to follow Kartik vows that we don't properly focus on our daily activities of sadhana. So that again that we're out of proper focus. Vrindavan is the place especially to practice Kartik vows, if we can be in Vrindavan during that time. But Vrindavan itself can be a distraction in devotional service. Really? How is that possible? The whole aim of life is to live in Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada himself left Vrindavan to go outside Vrindavan, showing that better than, and there's a purport in his Chaitanya Charitamrita to this effect, that better than living in Vrindavan is to serve Vrindavan, even if one isn't there. Srila Prabhupada brought the whole, well, he brought Vrindavan to the world, and he built Krishna Balaram Mandir to bring the world to Vrindavan. So again, we cannot minimize the importance of Vrindavan, but our attitude toward it. Srila Prabhupada said that Vrindavan is an inspiration, but our real work is all over the world. He also said at one time, I recently came across this, one of his disciples reported that Srila Prabhupada was once reminiscing about his times when he was living in Vrindavan, alone, largely unknown, how he is very happy there, and he'd like to go back and just live that peaceful life. But he said, for me, that would be sense gratification. Having accepted the role and responsibility of leading the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement, he said, for me to go back to that quiet life in Vrindavan would be sense gratification. Well, if Vrindavan is sense gratification, phew, what is there left? Or even our daily sadhana, how can that be a distraction? That's what we're supposed to do. Yes, but again, if we overly emphasize sadhana, or we can use it as an excuse for not performing service. It is, after all, devotional service. And we become so much concerned with sadhana, but okay, great, it's great. You get up every morning, attend Mangalati, attend the whole program, very serious about chanting your rounds. What do you do the rest of the day? Oh, more sadhana. But it's not a Babaji movement. We're supposed to do service. The sadhana is supposed to give us sadhana itself is a kind of service, but if we think that's my only service, then we haven't imbibed the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as imparted to us by Srila Prabhupada. And then service can be a distraction also if we don't, we're serving, where's the sadhana? Srila Prabhupada said in Bombay that if the devotees don't come back from the town, from the city where they would go every day for preaching, if they don't come back and have an evening program, he said, then it's just like it becomes mundane. Just going out working. Because without hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we tend to forget why we're doing what we are doing. So what's left for us? It seems like anything, yeah, practically anything, can be a distraction. Practically anything, even that which is very good, even that which is recommended. Even kirtan, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. But if we think that, well, I have to do kirtan, I have service to do, but no, I have to do kirtan. I'll only do kirtan, I won't do anything else. Or I'm so good at kirtan, I'm such a great musician. So that can also, the idea that we're doing kirtan, but we have to see how Krishna is pleased. I'm doing kirtan, but in the meantime, no one's cooking the offering for Krishna. No one's preparing prasadam for the devotees to take, but I'm doing kirtan. So many guests are coming, we have to look after them. No, I have to do kirtan, 2 hours a day, minimum. And we just got news that some guests are coming and they'll need accommodations and feeding. No. We have a rule here, we're only doing kirtan. So this is hypothetical, but you get the idea, I hope, of how practically anything can be a distraction in devotional service. What about prem? How can that be a distraction? Well, it is described in the Nectar of Devotion how Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, was once fanning Krishna, and he became so ecstatic that he couldn't fan Krishna properly. So he didn't like that. He didn't like that prema because it's interfering with my service. Well, that's a very high level. High level, distraction in devotional service, Krishna. Krishna can be a distraction in our devotional service. How is that possible? Think of Mother Yashoda giving great pleasure to Krishna. As Krishna is sucking her breast, she puts Krishna aside to go and tend to the milk so it doesn't boil over. She's serving Krishna. She goes away to serve Krishna in another way. So Krishna himself became a disturbance in her devotional service. We're not on that level, but it's nice to think about it. That's just bringing us up into the totally spiritual realm. If we can come to that level of, that level means we worship the lotus feet of Mother Yashoda. We can meditate on the glories of the great devotees for whom Krishna is a disturbance. The gopis sometimes, they claim Krishna, he's a disturbance to what we're doing. The main distraction is our mind not... Yeah, the gopis say Krishna is a disturbance. We're carrying the milk, taking the milk, and this Krishna just disturbs us, distracts us from what we're doing. That's a very high level. For us on our level, the main distraction is the mind not fixed wholly and solely on pleasing Krishna. Mother Yashoda became distracted by Krishna from her duty of looking after the milk, which she'd put for boiling. But she put the milk for boiling so that Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and others could be nourished and pleased by that milk offering. And of course, she'd offer to Narayan, Shila also. Nothing external can distract us if we're internally fixed, completely fixed on serving Krishna. And for that purpose, we should have a very clear understanding and keep that understanding clear all the time by regularly hearing that our only aim of life is to serve Krishna for his pleasure only. Krishnarte akhila cheshta, everything should be done. Krishnarte akhila cheshta, everything should be done only for Krishna's pleasure. We should follow the scriptural injunctions which tell us how we should serve Krishna. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatra, Vidhing, Vina, Aikantaki, Hare, Bhakti, Utpata, Yaiva, Kalpate. Devotional service, supposed to be devotional service, which ignores or transgresses the injunctions of the scriptures, that is a disturbance in devotional service. It distracts us away from the real path of devotional service. As far as distractions are concerned, how many are there? I mentioned some of them. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ninang Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. Persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing about in human society. Shukadev told Parikshit Maharaj. So we're supposed to come out of the platform of being materially engrossed. But that previous habit of being materially engrossed can come back. There's so many things. Rinang Santi Sahasrasha. Thousands and thousands of possible things which can distract us. We should be very careful. We should be very careful knowing that some things we shouldn't even let them get into our mind. We should protect about things getting into our mind, which we know can be hard to forget. Some things are all kinds of things. That, first of all, I was asked about the internet. I gave a talk on internet distractions, social media distractions. Maybe on the internet, something looks very interesting. But do I really need? Do I really need to see this? We get agitated over situations in the world or within ISKCON, which we can do nothing about. We're powerless to do anything about this. Or worrying about the future, or lamenting over the past, things going on the other side of the world, which have nothing to do with us. It's just fuel for the overly active or wrongly active mind. So just indulging our curiosity, that's all, for no particular benefit. And then the mind becomes more and more agitated unnecessarily. So we should be careful. Don't just, we know, okay, let me click on that and have a look, and then, yeah, and then start to think about that. Better just cut it out. Don't let things into our mind which don't need to be there, which once they come in, they're hard to forget. They make an impression. It's called a sanskar, is the particular word. So we have to be careful. If we're really intent on being a pure devotee, great. We're on the path. We're on the way back to Godhead. There will be distractions. There will be ups and downs. We'll keep on going. We want to be like Kunti Devi said, Twai me nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit sakrit advadatha adha gangeva gamudanvati. May my devotion to you flow like the powerful Ganga flows toward the sea, unstoppable. So it may be that different things come. There may be, the Ganga can be diverted by a big, big dam. But little things won't divert the Ganga. It takes something very strong to divert the Ganga. So little things, a little bit of the flow may be temporarily diverted. If you throw a stone into the flowing river, a little bit of the river water may be temporarily slightly diverted. So little distractions may not disturb someone who's really focused on that his flow of devotion will go to Krishna. Definitely there'll be obstacles. Definitely Maya will send so many distractions. But the only real danger is if we give up the pure devotional mentality. Distractions are always a danger. But we should. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchala mastiram tatastato niyamyaitad atmanyeva vashandiyat. Krishna tells, in for the practice of yoga, the mind will again and again go away. We have to again and again bring it back to Krishna. The only danger is if we give up the pure devotional mentality and start to identify or become overly absorbed in all kinds of things, which I mentioned, maintaining the family, maintaining the health, being nice, being good, welfare work, moralism, vegetarianism, environmentalism, karma, jnana, yoga, empirical knowledge, speculative knowledge, mystic powers, there are all kinds of things. We are warned, be careful, sadhu, savdhan. So let us be careful, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, pray for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. that, please come and pick me up. I'm weak, but we have to try ourselves also. So this is a something which we learn or should learn in our early days in devotional service about remaining focused and fixed and not distracted. But there's no harm for me, for my own benefit, to speak these things. So, not that I'm free from distractions. And I hope that even those who have been practicing devotional service for some years and who listen to this may also benefit, just to help keep us on the right track. Maya can pull us away at any time. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo.